on the Holy Spirit.
Disgusting. I think he's a bot.
Savior of all people, almighty.
I mean, I don't know him personally, so it's kind of hard to say.
Well, he's a very good person, yeah. He's a nice person.
He's looking out in his best interest.
No, I guess it's all about the money. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
How many of you guys like that last song? Y'all holding back on me. I looked across the crowd. Man, you guys are like giving it that neck action, man. You're like doing this the whole time, patting your feet. Man, isn't it awesome to know that Jesus Christ is alive and these who came up out of that water just a second ago are demonstrating the fact that he is alive and he's alive in their hearts and lives. 11 people have been baptized thus far. We got a whole list to go in our next service. So, man, praise the Lord for that. Had an awesome service a few moments ago, and many actually in our first service gave their lives to Christ for the very first time, and just looking forward to what God is going to do in our time together for the remainder of our time as a 10 o'clock worship hour. But I just want to push pause real quick before I dive into today's message and just celebrate something that God did last Sunday, and that is celebrate the fact that those of you who had been reaching out to friends and praying for people and inviting people, man, God just used you in a tremendous way. And we had a grand total of 1,782 people that walked through our doors, and 97 prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Well, to God be the glory for that. And I just want to say thank you for just your diligence and really just the compassion you extended, reaching out to people that you know that may not typically go to church, but obviously on a Easter Sunday or maybe on a Christmas, you know, a time of the year that they'll come. But I just pray that last week will be the beginning for many. And I know we've already had a lot of people come back today. So welcome to each of you. And I just really pray that this church will be a place that you will truly call home. And we'll come alongside. We'll do life together. And you'll truly be able to experience everything that God has in store for your lives. Well, I want to begin our message today. We're in part two of a series called Jesus Is that we kicked off last Sunday. And think about that for a moment. That's a very pertinent question. Jesus is. The big question is, how would you fill in that blank? What would you put in that space? Jesus is what? Who is he? What does he mean to you? I would be safe to say for a lot of people in our culture today, when you look at people by and large, especially people who for whatever reason are disconnected with church, I would be safe to say for a lot of people, they probably would answer that question. With that word, irrelevant. Jesus, for many, is totally irrelevant. They're thinking, are you kidding me? How in the world would you expect me to believe some guy who claimed to be God, who lived over 2,000 years ago? How in the world could that be possible to literally trust or put my faith in a person who claimed to be God over 2,000 years ago to be relevant to my everyday life living in 2013? It's a good question. And maybe some of you here today have pondered that before. I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, so what? I understand Jesus. I mean, I get it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, how is that relevant to me? I mean, how is he possibly going to help me in my everyday life? You know, it's interesting, the Webster's Dictionary defines the word irrelevant as not connected with or relevant to something, not applicable or unimportant. I was talking last Sunday with a friend of mine who actually is an undercover police officer. He works for the Orlando Police Department and serves as a member of the SWAT team. And so one of the jobs or tasks that he has from time to time is he fulfills assignments where he and the SWAT team will actually go and they'll do a drug bust. They'll do these unannounced, you know, these drug raids, and man, they'll go into a sometimes very hostile situation, but they'll go into a home, and maybe it might be a crack house, it might be, you know, a drug lord or drug dealer, but the SWAT team will come, and in a matter of seconds, man, they bust down the door and they take these people captive and arrest them for the illegal crimes that they're guilty of. And what's crazy is that My police officer friend told me, he said, you know, he said, I've been doing this for a long, long time. And he said, it never ceases to amaze me that when we go into these kinds of situations or these kinds of environments, so often we will see on the coffee table an open Bible, or we will see a picture of Jesus, or the drug dealer will have a necklace, a crucifix hanging around his neck. And he said, I've never been able to figure that one out. He said, it's not like it happens some of the time. He said, it happens all the time. You'll see an open Bible, a picture of Jesus, or a cross. He said, but what's crazy is how there seems to be a disconnect between the Jesus hanging on the wall or the open Bible on the coffee table as it relates to the lifestyle that they're living. He said, you talk about a disconnect. You talk about Jesus being unimportant. You talk about Jesus being irrelevant. He said, that's fascinating to me. And you know, there may be some of you here today, and you may not live in a crack house, or you may not be in a situation or an environment that would be referred to as a drug house. And let me just say that if you are, you couldn't be at a better house than the house of God right now. And let me just say, welcome. And man, we're glad you're here. And we want you here. We need you here. We want you to be a part of what God is doing in this place. But if by chance you represent the norm where that's not your world, you can't necessarily relate to that. But as far as you're concerned, Jesus may be hanging around your neck. But the bigger question is he hanging around your heart? For a lot of us, we have Jesus hanging on our wall, but is he really hanging around our heart? You see, for a lot of us, we claim to believe Jesus. We understand who he is from the standpoint that he's the Son of God. And yes, he came supposedly as God's Son, the Savior of the world. We believe that. So often you will talk to people and they will unequivocally, they'll agree. They'll say, oh, absolutely. Man, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But the unfortunate tragedy is that he's irrelevant to their everyday lives, maybe as it relates to how they treat their spouse or how they raise their children or how they prioritize their time or their priorities. Maybe as it relates to the everyday decisions, the choices that they make. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, I still wrestle with that. You know, I believe Jesus. I understand, you know, who he is. I understand the Bible from the standpoint of understanding that he is the God of the Bible. But yet, I've never been able to figure out how to correlate or how to translate or how to apply or make relevant to my life and to my world who he really, really is. I think for a lot of people, at the end of the day, they see Jesus as someone who perhaps is interesting. Someone who's somewhat intriguing, fascinating. In fact, how many of you, just out of curiosity, have seen the TV show that came out, the Bible series? Let me see your hands. You saw that on the History Channel? If you saw it, man, it was absolutely, in my lifetime, best thing that has ever been put together to really just give a modern-day version of the life of Christ in the Bible. Phenomenal, phenomenal job that Mark Burkett put together along with his wife. Amazing, amazing. If you haven't seen it, you really need to see it. 13.1 million people tuned in just to see the first episode. It is the most successful cable television show to date of 2013. Literally millions upon millions of people have been intrigued. They've been enamored. They're interested. They're captivated. But at the same time, is he relevant to their everyday life? You know, Jesus, when he was here on earth, came for a specific purpose, and that was to fulfill the will of God. But yet people, for whatever reason, didn't necessarily understand who he was. They were intrigued. They were fascinated. They were captured by the miracles and by the amazing things that he did. But at the same time, a lot of people still had a hard time really fully embracing or accepting who he was. And Paul the Apostle was one of those. At the same time, because he met Jesus and saw the relevancy of Jesus from the standpoint of how Jesus ultimately changed his life, Paul began to spend the rest of his life in sharing the hope of Christ with the lost world. And people of his day and culture, still like we face today, had a hard time fully embracing the message. They saw Jesus as a person who was interesting. They appreciated him. They respected him. But he was irrelevant to who they were as related to how he fit into their everyday world. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians 1. If you have your smartphone and you have your YouVersion app, I encourage you to open it up. This is an intriguing passage of scripture that Paul wrote in verse 18 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he said, the message of the cross is foolish, irrelevant, non-applicable, or non-important. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Verse 20. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? In other words, in our culture today, we have our everyday skeptics. We have our evolutionists, our humanists. We have those who are the mystics and the spiritualists out there. We have our modern day atheists, if you will. And many people still to this day are questioning the relevancy and the legitimacy of who Christ is. But it goes on to say that God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. Let me pause here and just say, remember, when Jesus came into the world, he was rejected by his own people. Why? Because Israel, the Jewish nation, rejected Jesus because they didn't fully understand the fact that he came as the Messiah to come and to be a servant, to lay down his life for the sins of the world. Instead, they were still believing that Jesus was going to come in the form of a conquering king who would come and establish the rule and the reign of Israel and to set Israel free from its enemies. And so because Jesus didn't come in the manner that they thought he would come or should come, they rejected him. And another thing too, they couldn't understand the fact that Jesus would die a criminal's death through the form of Roman execution on a cross. It made no sense. It was completely irrelevant to them. And then it says, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. In other words, they could not comprehend when they compared who Jesus was to the mythological gods that they worshipped, and the characteristics of their mythological gods were inconsistent with the characteristics of Jesus. They rejected him. Their minds were having a hard time sorting out who Jesus was, because again, he did not fit into the intellectual box that they were expecting Jesus to fit into. And at the same time, they saw the death of the cross as a sign of defeat rather than a sign of victory. And for them, they intellectualized themselves into complete spiritual confusion. So Jesus, to the Greek philosophers of the day, the skeptics, the debaters, Jesus is irrelevant. And so it goes on to say in verse 23, so we who preach that Christ was crucified, The Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. The reason why so many people in this world cannot figure out who Jesus is because they see Jesus from a limited human perspective. They don't understand God's eternal plan and purpose. And the reason why those of us who have experienced the power of God, and the reason why Jesus is relevant to us, is because he has changed us, and now we're able to see things from God's point of view, and it makes complete sense. But for those of us who perhaps have failed to see Jesus from God's point of view, maybe he is somewhat irrelevant because he doesn't make sense. He's non-applicable to your life. He's unimportant. There is a disconnect. Well, can I just say this? I think today when you walk out of these doors, you're absolutely going to see and hopefully experience just how relevant Jesus is. In fact, what I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you to no longer see Jesus as irrelevant, but one who is relevant to your everyday life. And if you're taking notes, here's how Jesus is relevant to you. Number one, he forgives our sins. He forgives our sins. I love what the scripture says in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. He, speaking of Jesus, has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. I don't know about you, but I got to confess, man, I have messed up in my life. I have blown it. I've made mistakes. I have fallen short of God's perfect standard. Man, there are things in my past that I am ashamed of and deeply regret. Man, I make mistakes each and every day. Man, there is just things in my life, to be honest with you, that are just inconsistencies and inadequacies. You say, you mean you're a pastor and you're not perfect? Yes, I'm a pastor and I'm not perfect. Just like you're not perfect. We're all imperfect. Why? Because of sin. And our sin is what separates us from our Creator. It separates us from God. There's a disconnect spiritually. Why? Because sin disconnects us from our Maker. And because of that, man, we need something that gives us a second chance. We need something to cancel the record of the long grocery list of sins that we're all guilty of. How many of you ever played golf before? We're getting golfers in here. I'm not a golfer. But there's one thing I love and appreciate about golf. In fact, I don't know that they actually do this on the PGA Tour. But the way I play golf, it's kind of like a standard rule of thumb that we kind of apply to the game of golf. And so when you get up to the tee box and you hit the golf ball and you hit it like I do, instead of it going that way, it goes that way. And so when everybody laughs and makes fun and, you know, giving me the business because I don't have a clue what I'm doing, they'll say, oh, come on, tell you what, go ahead and take a mulligan. And man, that's music to my ears. You know why? Because I get a second chance. That means I get a do-over. And man, I'll hit it, and it does the exact same way. But it goes the exact same way. But you know what? The reality is that that's the way we are. Man, we sin, we fall short, we mess up. Man, we go the wrong direction. But guess what? God, in his love, has seen fit to give you and to give me a spiritual mulligan, a do-over, a second chance. Why? Because, man, God wants to cancel out the record of our sins. And he accomplished that through the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. So here's the deal. Man, when it comes to forgiveness of our guilt and our shame and maybe the feelings of condemnation and the inadequacy and the failures of life, who am I going to go to? Who am I going to call upon to seek forgiveness and to have peace for the hole that's in my soul, to remove the guilt or the shame, to give me that feeling that all is well with my soul? Who else is going to give me that or provide that for me? Because if I were to look to Buddha, he's dead. If I were to look to Allah, he's dead. If I go to Muhammad, he's dead. If I call upon Confucius, He's dead. If I call upon Joseph Smith, he's dead. But if I call upon Jesus, let me tell you something. He is alive. He was buried. He was raised back to life. And because he's alive, man, it demonstrates and proves, it validates who Jesus was, who Jesus is. And what you need to understand is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ allows us to not just to be forgiven, but to become fully alive so that we can live alive in Jesus Christ. Because our sins are forgiven. I love what Romans 8 says. Paul said it best. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ did not come into the world, and when he saw your sin, he didn't come to rub it in, but he came to rub it out. He came to abolish it, to cancel it, to do away with it, to give us a second chance so that we would no longer be under sin's power or dominion. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, he frees us from that power of sin, and we can live fully alive because he is alive, and that power that rose Jesus from the grave is available to each of us. He's relevant because he forgives our sins. Jesus said it best, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he goes on to say, and if the Son has set you free, then you're free indeed. That means if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God has set you free from the burden and the bondage and the slavery and the penalty of sin. You're a new person in Jesus Christ. He's relevant because he forgives our sins. But secondly, he meets our deepest needs. Think about that for a moment. Man, when you're on the mountaintop and you want to celebrate because of what has taken place in your life, or because of opportunities that are presented, or maybe if you walk through the dark valleys of life and you need somebody to be there and to stand with you and to walk with you through the difficult times. I mean, think about that. Who do you celebrate with? Who are you thankful for? Who do you give credit to? Who do you see as the source of your provision or the opportunity that's worthy of celebration? Or who do you cling to or run to or seek help from or comfort from or wisdom from or help from? Or hope from, or peace from, in your deepest, darkest hour. See, life is hard. It is. It's difficult. And we need God's help when we go through difficulties, when we have needs in our lives that only God can meet. Because the tragedy is that so many people in our current culture, they look to all the wrong people. They depend upon all the wrong things to meet needs or to satisfy needs in their life that only God can satisfy. Can I just get real and personal with you for a second and introduce you to my world as a pastor? I just want to give you a little quick snapshot, just a little glimpse into my world. Because so often there's a disconnect. You guys think I only work about half a day a week. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is relevant because he really does. He meets our every need. 3 weeks ago, a lady that comes to our church, in fact, she was here in our last service, left our service and went home. And when she walked through the front door of our house, she saw hanging from a tree in her backyard her brother who had committed suicide during our service. We loved on this family, embraced this family, walked through the pain, the shock, the awe, the grief, of what they were going through in this confusing moment of loss. I talked just briefly yesterday to a man whose wife has been in the hospital for over 5 weeks. They removed the second large mass out of her body, been pumping fluid off of her lungs. She's dying of cancer, and this is his second wife, and he lost his first wife to cancer, and it's only a matter of days, potentially weeks, before she is taken from this life. And the pain and the sorrow and the depth of just confusion this man is facing right now is just, for him, is overwhelming. Got a message from one of our core volunteers who just was informed this week that she lost her job and is concerned and fearful because of the obligations and financial responsibilities that she has, and she doesn't know what to do, where to turn. A lady who has 3 children, husband just left her, and she's afraid. He wants divorce. And financially, she doesn't know how she's going to make things work, and let alone be a single mom of 3 kids and handle the overwhelming responsibilities, knowing that she is going to have to face it alone. Woman that just walked out of our service a few moments ago with tears flowing down her face told me, Michelle and I, she said, "I feel so alone." She said, "I'm retired and going through some really difficult times," but she said, "I have no one in my life." She said, "I feel so alone." She said, "That's why I came back to church." Talked to a guy just briefly on the flip side of all of that just a couple of days ago. Tears of joy in his voice. He said, "Man," he said, "God is faithful." He said, "He's answered prayer." He said, "You know, man," he said, "we've been without work." He said, "I've been doing everything I can to get a job." He said, "I have literally exhausted everything." He said, "All I know is that this opportunity that God has just presented to me is nothing short of a God thing, because I could not have scripted a better, more of a dream job situation and scenario than what has just been presented to me." Another man that texted me yesterday said, "Man, Rodney," with tears of joy, he said, "I'm watching God at work. He's opening doors and answering prayers that are beyond human explanation." I'm here to tell you, when you're going through the deepest valley, or you're on the highest mountaintop of life, and you're going through difficulties and challenges and setbacks and obstacles, and you feel alone or afraid or abandoned or overwhelmed, let me tell you something. Who are you going to go to meet your greatest, deepest need? I'll tell you who you go to. Listen. Man, there is not a book on this planet that will tell you how to do life. But I am here to tell you, there is the book, which is God's Word, which is His source of hope, that will give us the hope that we need to cling to in our times of need, that will fill that void and to meet the greatest single need of our lives. Amen. You're talking about the relevancy of who Jesus is. He is the God who meets our needs. There may not be a manual that tells you how to do it, but thank God we have Emmanuel, God with us, that will do life with us each and every day. You want to know who Emmanuel is? He is Jehovah Shema, the God who is always there, the hope that we need. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He not only heals our physical wounds, He heals the emotional hurts of our past and the hidden wounds of life. He is Jehovah El Shaddai. He is all powerful. He's the one who gives us the power that we need. He is Jehovah Roy. He is the God who loves, who cares, and shepherds us when we go through the valleys of life. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of peace, not only to our world, but He is the personal peace that we long to have and to know and to experience in our lives. He is Jehovah, Sim Kaf Gali. He is the one, the God of exceeding joy in our hearts and lives. He is Jehovah, Mekadesh. He is the God who is the one who satisfies our every need. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is the God who defends us when we feel like everything and everybody is against us. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of meeting every need you could ever possibly have in your life? And that's why Paul said, my God will richly fill your every need in a glorious way through Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus is the greatest source to go to. Why? Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God came to earth to rescue you and me through the form of his son, Jesus Christ, who lived and walked among us, who lived a life just like we live. He became one of us. Why? So that we could relate to him, so that he could relate to us. Who better to go to in our time of need than the one who created us, and the one who became one of us, and the one who relates to us, and the one who wants us to call upon him when we face those needs in our lives? Because Jesus said it best in Matthew. He said in chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Can anybody relate to that? Are there any moments of weariness physically or emotionally or relationally? Are you carrying heavy burdens financially, vocationally, relationally? Is the weight of the world weighing on you in any shape or form? If so, Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, he says, because I'm humble and gentle in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, my burden. And the burden that I give you is light. Who else could meet our needs but Jesus, who knows us and understands us, who loves us, and who's there for us to meet our every need? You see, Jesus is relevant because he forgives us of our sins. He's relevant because he meets our deepest needs. And then thirdly, he's relevant because he gives us power for living. He gives us power for living. Why do we need God's power? I'll tell you why. If you're anything like me, because I've come to the quick realization that I cannot do it by myself. I can't be the husband that I need to be. I can't be the father I need to be. I can't be the pastor I need to be. I can't be the example that I need to be. I can't be the provider that I need to be. I can't be the leader that I need to be. I can't be a lot of things on my own. But with Christ, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Does this make sense to you? I'm talking about relevancy. You talk about applicable. You talk about important. There's nobody else that's more relevant and more applicable and more important than Jesus. And he gives us the power that we greatly need in our lives. I love what Ephesians 1:19-20 says. Paul said it best. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Don't you see? Man, because Jesus Christ was raised back from the grave, he came back to life. Man, let me tell you something. He's not dead. He's alive. And that same power that rose Jesus back to life is available for those of us so that we can have the power to overcome the things that try to overcome us, so that we can have the strength to overcome the areas where we're weak, so that we can conquer the things that have conquered us, so that we can move forward in faith and trust in the God who is the greatest source of power that we could ever have to get us through those moments when we feel like we can't do it alone. We need God's power to do what we can't. Guys, I'm going to ask that you help me out with my vacuum cleaner. I'm going to conclude by showing you something and helping you maybe better understand just how relevant God's power is to your everyday life. What that means to your marriage and to your, how you raise your kids and the decisions you make and just what you do when you're standing in the fork of the road and trying to figure out what's next and how you get there and all those kind of things. It's amazing to me. I'm just one of these guys who like to just break it down, you know what I mean? Make the complex simple. It's amazing how many pastors I know that make the simple complex, but anyway, it's a different story. But you know what's interesting? I'm not a really, really intelligent or smart person. I'll confess a weakness of mine. But I've learned this very, very important form of application to my life. I've learned and discovered that things work best when they're plugged in. For real. This here is a vacuum cleaner. It's a Dyson. This is a Mac Daddy of all vacuum cleaners. This is not a Walmart brand vacuum cleaner. This is a Dyson. It is rough and tough. It is powerful. It is bright canary yellow. It will glow in the dark. You can see it coming. It is one unbelievable machine. Incredible. But here's what's crazy. If I try to take this vacuum cleaner and I try to vacuum this floor without it being plugged in, guess what? It's irrelevant to me. It's no longer useful. It's unimportant. It's not applicable to helping me get this carpet cleaned. But guess what I've discovered? I've discovered that when you plug it in, amazing things happen. Now all of a sudden, now that I have plugged in and I'm connected to the power source, guess what? This Dyson now suddenly becomes useful. It becomes relevant to me. Man, all of a sudden, Michelle, she's getting jacked up because now I'm learning how to vacuum the house. Now suddenly, what used to be non-important has become important to me because I've learned how to use it. Man, I see the results. I see the effectiveness. Man, it is the coolest, baddest, greatest, most effective Dyson vacuum cleaner I have ever used in my life. But guess what? For many of us here today, we've never connected to the greatest power source. And because you're not connected, it's irrelevant. It doesn't make sense. It's not important. It's not applicable. But when you become connected to Jesus and you discover who he is and he forgives your sins and you begin to realize that he does meet your greatest needs and you do realize that, man, he is the greatest source of power to help you do what you alone cannot do, now all of a sudden, it matters. It's important. It's applicable. You know the reason why? It's because you have connected to the greatest power source of all. And that's Jesus. And he said it best in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me, while I live in them, will produce a lot of fruit. But you can't produce anything without me. You'll never be successful. You never make it in life. I'm telling you. You will never figure out the most complex, confusing things in life on your own. The greatest, most intellectual human wisdom on this side of heaven, let me tell you something, will never figure it out. But with the childlike faith that was demonstrated in the waters of baptism today, we put our faith and our trust in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sin and was raised back to life. We make him the Lord of our life, and we become connected with him. Guess what? Things suddenly change. We see things from a whole different perspective. And the problem is, for many of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, you've put your faith and trust in Christ, you've been saved, you know that. The problem is that for many of us, we're trying to do life on our own. And guess what? For some of us here today, we've been trying to make our marriages work, and we've been trying to raise our kids. We've been trying to make it happen on our own. But the problem is that we've unplugged ourselves from the power source. And the greatest single thing we need to do is to get plugged back in. Because when you plug back in to the power source, now all of a sudden, as a follower of Jesus Christ, your life helps you do what you can't do. It becomes your greatest source of power and strength. But it's about being plugged in and connected. The greatest place to plug into is the local church. The greatest book to build your life on is the book, the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. Man, the greatest thing you could do is plug into small groups and plug into ministry opportunities. Why? So that the power of God can be demonstrated and manifested in and through your life. You know what? My greatest fear as a pastor is that this church would be perceived by the outsiders as being irrelevant. Let me tell you how we stay relevant as a church. It has nothing to do with lights or music. That has nothing to do with all the cool stuff. How we stay relevant as a church is by being the church. Because those of us in this room, when we start applying and we start living out and we start demonstrating boldly and unashamedly and publicly to a lost world that Jesus Christ does forgive sin and Jesus Christ is the source that meets all of our needs. And when people begin to see changed lives because of the power of God that is being displayed in people's lives, I'm here to tell you, this church will be a church that will shine as bold and bright and beautiful as it can possibly be, like a city on a hill where people can't help but say, man, that is a God thing. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And I want what those people got. That's when we as a church will be relevant to a world that's in need of Jesus Christ. So if you're not connected, let's get connected. If you're not plugged in, let's get plugged in so that we can let the power of God be demonstrated in every area of our lives.